You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner here, with a special guest on the line now as well. Given that Dave Tindall is away for the week, he's in the lakes. I'm joined by golf journalist Matt Cooper to have a look at the Wyndham Championship this week, and we'll have a quick word on the Women's Open as well at Woburn. First of all, thank you, Matt, for joining us this week.
It's a pleasure, Dave. Hopefully I can repeat my dramatic tip from Royal Portrush a couple of weeks ago. Fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, you gave us three tips at Royal Portrush, and one of them was Shane Lowry, who won at 66-1, and it was a crazy week. Started off with Rory McIlroy and his up and downs in terms of emotions on Thursday and Friday, and ended with an Irish winner in the Isle of Ireland. Shane Lowry was superb, I thought, throughout the 4 days.
Magnificent, and I don't think enough credit's been given to him for a brilliant round in the final lap, because obviously it wasn't as dramatic as his 63 on Saturday, but those final 20 groups really struggled in that weather, and I think only Tony Finau beat Shane Lowry in the final lap. So that was an amazing effort from him. But also it was slightly reminiscent, and part of the reason I backed him actually was, if there was ever going to be bad weather with big Irish crowds, the man you wanted on your side was Shane Lowry. 10 years ago he did the same thing when he won the Irish Open, and so it's a nice little echo of that. And it all worked out fantastically well. And the Rory thing's very interesting. A lot of people thought that all fell flat and wasn't necessarily a great conclusion to the tournament for him, but I think the alternative is to imagine, what if he just had a sort of average tournament, just trailed in, tied 30th or something? He'd have gained and experienced very little from the week, whereas what actually happened is that he's reconnected with the Northern Irish public. I think he's probably made a bit of a leap in terms of his own career, and assuming that he actually can take this forward, which would appear to be the case a little bit, even though he did take a step backwards last Sunday. But I think, strangely, what happened to Rory is almost like the second best to winning.
Yeah, he must be hurting a little bit at the moment, McIlroy, though, because you mentioned last week he was in that final group with Brooks Koepka on Sunday, one shot ahead of Koepka, and Koepka is the alpha male of the PGA Tour pros now. He rolled up 45 minutes before his tee time. He was loose and ready to go, and he put on a show on Sunday at TPC Southwind, and it did feel like he was kind of bullying Rory McIlroy out there, which we've not been used to seeing in the last decade.
I've got this sort of feeling that Brooks Koepka is like the sort of Uber troll of the PGA Tour. He's just quietly sort of dropping these little things into all the players' minds, sort of telling them, I don't really practice for normal events, I don't really care about this. And he'll throw like little ideas every week about how, well, I'm under the radar and I like it. Next minute it's, I'm under the radar and I don't like it. I think he's sort of weirdly playing with everybody's head. And actual fact, at the Open, we had a bit of a chatter, all the journalists that were staying in my house, and we said, there's a strange sort of feeling afoot that this bloke's won four majors in the last 3 years or whatever. It's staggering that you almost feel like amongst the players and also amongst the media and also people who watch it, it's almost like a little bit unfair the way that he's winning them. And I can't quite put my finger on why we're so sort of baffled by what he does. And I think it's partly because he underplays everything, but it's also partly because he's learned lessons that it takes other golfers decades to learn, if they ever learn them at all. And they're quite sort of Jack Nicklaus style lessons. I mean, that thing he said a little while ago about, like, you know, he knows that if he just plays quite well in the final round of a major or a big tournament, he'll just let other people fail around him. And that gives him a sort of, that not only is right because it's what happens, other people do make a mess of stuff, but it also takes the pressure off him and enables him to play quite well. I think that's slightly different to what happened on Sunday, when I think there was an element of him doing a bit of bullying on Rory, and I think Rory took a bit of a step backwards. I also got a quote in which Rory sort of said he was aware of how well Brooks can play, and that kind of made me a little bit dubious on Sunday. I was very surprised that you could get some pretty big odds for Koepka ahead of the final round, actually.
Yeah, he was around about 5-2, I think, going into that final round, one back from McIlroy. And as you mentioned, he loves nothing more than proving people wrong, Koepka, and I'm sure there will be more wins to come between now and the Masters in April as well. He's now got 3 regular tour titles and 4 major championships. And I suppose the majors coming together in those 4 consecutive months sort of works in Koepka's favour now, because you can't just switch off for 8 months of the year without winning more titles. And I think he'll want to bolster his numbers in the next 8 months.
Yeah, well, apart from anything else, it's like you say, what would he do if he didn't? I mean, the thing that he said, you're probably too young to remember this, Dave, but David Gower in the 1980s, he was very famous for, once he got to test status as a cricketer, an exceptionally successful one at that, he was famously rubbish playing for Leicestershire back home at Grace Road, wasn't really interested in the sort of minor stage, and there was an element of Brooks Koepka sort of insinuating that he was going to be the same. But with this season finishing as quickly as it has done, he'll be well aware that he can't really afford to go stale for the next 8 months. So he's going to be picking and choosing times when he peaks. The other strange thing is he's always quite enjoyed going over to Japan and winning and competing in that event. I don't think we've seen the last of him winning this season at all.
No, let's get stuck into this week then. We'll talk about the Wyndham Championship, which is a huge week for the tour professionals, the last event of the regular season, and it's come around incredibly quickly. Webb Simpson is at the top of the betting here with William Hill, currently available at 9-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 14s, along with Colin Morikawa. Jordan Spieth is 16-1. Paul Casey, 20s. Patrick Reed is 22s. Brant Snedeker, 22-1. Billy Horschel is 22s as well. Victor Hovland, 28-1, and it's bigger the rest of them. Didn't mention Morikawa's win last week. We had Matthew Wolff winning a few weeks ago, and Morikawa new out on tour. These golfers, this collegiate season has just produced, well, we've got Hovland this week, and it's produced a few incredible talents, including Morikawa, who won last week in Reno.
Yeah, it's difficult to know. Part of me thinks it's going to be quite exciting. We're going to get lots of youngsters come through. The other part of me thinks that, is this just a bit of a quick rash of players succeeding, and they'll start to encounter problems that will make life more difficult for them? I mean, it's not so long ago, is it, that we were getting very excited about Cameron Champ and how magnificent he was going to be, and he's encountered problems. I think it's inevitable that at least a couple of these new guys will start to discover that life's a little bit more tricky at this level. But it's quite thrilling to see 3. And I suppose you could include Doc Redman, I think, who's not come through so quickly, but it's quite an interesting contender this week, actually. These youngsters are threatening to change the game a little bit. I was chatting to somebody quite recently who said that one of the reasons things could change quite profoundly in the next few years with college graduates is that there is a massive thing now where people who sign up college golfers, they no longer look at scorecards or at swings. They're only really interested in club head speed, and they're just obsessed with people who can swing the club very, very fast. And they believe if they've got that, they can turn them into golfing machines thereafter. Mm. So there is actually a slightly different wave of golfers that are going to emerge from there. That suggests they're all going to be able to hit the ball a long way. The big difference is whether they can actually win things. And this first wave seems to do quite well. I'm still a little bit dubious that it'll have huge long-standing significance, but it's going to be quite exciting to watch it.
This week is highly pressurised, obviously, because the main aim for many of the players will be to make it into the top 125 on the FedEx standings, which will get you in the playoffs and give you full status for next season. Top 150 gives conditional status, and if you manage to hit the top 200 and you're on that particular bubble, that gives you a chance in the Korn Ferry Tour finals as well. And we got some consistency in terms of the venue. It's Sedgefield Country Club, the host. It's hosted this event since 2008. Donald Ross design with Bermuda grass greens, and in similar ways, it's it's similar to, or in many ways it's similar to Southwind last week, in that finding fairways is the key to attacking these greens. And as Josh Culp has noted in his piece for Roto World, if you stray from the fairways here, finding the greens is tough. It's kind of like a Southwind light this week, because scoring might be lower, but finding fairways pretty key here.
Yeah, I think Webb Simpson is definitely on record as saying, you know, if you hit the fairways here, you've got an absolutely fantastic chance of getting the ball close, but find the rough and it's quite tangly and it becomes very difficult to actually hold the greens. So that's an interesting backup. Also, of course, another sort of similarity is the Bermuda grass on the greens.
Yeah.
And it's Simpson is quite clearly a fantastic performer around here, a winner and a rash of top 12 finishes, and second last week, of course. So that bolsters his case as being a very strong favourite.
Guaranteed to be low scoring as well. Brant Snedeker shot 59 on day one last year, and he held off Simpson to win the event. Snedeker was something of an outlier in terms of how he got the job done. He didn't hit that many fairways, but masked that with an incredible display on approach, and rode a hot putter to success as well. Five of the six winners prior to his success last year, since the greens were changed to champion Bermuda, had ranked in the top 15 for driving accuracy. So is there anything else you want to add just before we get to the picks?
I've noticed that I think the last three champions have all played, except they've all had very, very good putting stats, also par three stats. And the year before, when Davis Love won, Jason Gore also had good stats on par threes and putting average, and he was the 54-hole leader. And then Davis Love just went past him at the last minute. So I think those are the sort of things you need to be looking at.
Okay, I've got two picks for the event, Matt.
I've got a couple too as well.
Okay, I'll let you lead off with your number one selection then.
I'm actually just going to be quite boring, and I'm going to go for the favourites. It's not really a common thing with me, but I'm quite keen on Webb Simpson this week. I think the way that he closed out last week is not as important, actually, as the way he played his first round. I was reading his quotes, and he said that first round he didn't play very well, but he kept doing all the right stuff to prevent his score going sky high. And he got a lot of confidence from that and was able to go really low throughout the rest of the tournament. And keeping your foot down and going low is what's really required. There's a touch of NASCAR about this event. Not just Snedeker, but Stenson shot 62 in his first two rounds. A year before that, so he would come out of 60. So you've got to go low. Webb Simpson's in form doing that. He's got plenty of course experience, so I'm quite confident to go with him. And I'm going to go for Denny McCarthy. He's 12th in the field for putting average, 9th for par 3 performance, which I mentioned earlier. He had a nice little tied 9th at Innisbrook earlier this season, and that's been quite a nice little pointer in recent years. Similar sort of requirements, Bermuda greens, but find the fairways and you can attack the pin. So I quite fancy him.
Yeah, I like a couple of reasonably decent prices. Joaquin Neiman is the one that I like most this week at 50-1. I think he's the perfect fit for this particular challenge, and I thought it was quite a bit of value at 50s as well. He's endured a bit of a rollercoaster season, with the first half of it not really producing positive results, but the last 2 months have seen him turn his form around in many ways, and a lot of that has to do with the putter. He's gained strokes on the field putting in four of his last six outings, where stats have been available, which is no mean feat for Neiman. His recent tie for fifth in the Rocket Mortgage Classic came on a Donald Ross design as well, and he was 33rd in this event last year on his tournament debut, where he got better as the week wore on, closed with a pair of 66s, and he ranks 10th in proximity to the hole on tour this season, which has been a good pointer to success at the Wyndham. Tee to green game will set up plenty of birdie chances, and I think he's a nice price in this field at 50-1. And I'm going to roll with the young guns as well, with Victor Hovland as the other selection at 28-1. Obviously, Matthew Wolff and Colin Morikawa, as we mentioned, have come straight out and won on the PGA Tour, and I think Hovland will be the next to make a big splash. His tee to green game has been absolutely astonishing, and he's just a hot putter away from contending, really. He actually gained 12 strokes tee to green when 12th at the US Open, 9 at the 3M Open two starts ago when he finished 13th, and again, 8 strokes gained when he was 16th at the John Deere. Short game slightly let him down, so that has to be taken on trust in that respect, but he will eventually get rewarded, and it might well be this week. So he's seen as the best of that trio of players that we've mentioned, and I think with good reason as well. So I think Victor Hovland at 28-1 will go well, along with Joaquin Neiman this week at 50-1. So those are a couple of picks for me.
I'll just add that Denny McCarthy, I didn't mention his price earlier, it's 66-1. I'm not going to back him, but I did mention briefly earlier Doc Redman.
Yep.
He's 80-1 this week, and he's got a lot of local connections here. He has played the tournament once before and missed the cut, but he had a 68 in round one, and then pressure got to him a little bit. But he's had a spectacular couple of months. He started it finishing second on the Canadian Tour in June. Early June, ended it by shooting a 62 to pre-qualify for PGA Tour event, finished second there, solo second. That got him temporary membership of the Tour. Finished tied 20th in the Open. That put him above $1 million earnings for the year. Not bad going for a bloke who hadn't played before the start of the spring. So I think there's plenty. I'm not totally convinced with his case this week, but he's quite an interesting one.
Yeah, I like Doc Redman as well. I think I'd be tempted to have a few quid on him at a big price. Of the others towards the top of the betting, I thought Patrick Reed was interesting at 22-1. He's won 4 times on Bermuda surfaces in his career on the PGA Tour, and it's only really been the putter stopping him. Second in strokes gained tee to green in a much better field than last week at the FedEx. And it helps that driver won't be required on many of the holes this week as well, because as reported by Jonathan Wall, his driver was damaged at the Open Championship. And Ping's vice president, Chance Cosby, has spoken about that, vice president of sports development. And he confirmed that one of their drivers was deemed to have been damaged. And that was at the Open Championship. And the driver belonged to Patrick Reed, who cracked the face of that Ping G400. And he's still searching for another driver at the moment as well. So maybe, and he'd had that one in the bag for 16 months. So maybe that's slightly off-putting with Reed's chances, but I think he seems to be, Matt, close to me to winning another event.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'll throw in one of the interesting names near the top of the betting is Martin Kaymer, and the reason I mention him is if you have a little look at people who've won this event, I think 6 of the last 8 winners have also won at TPC Sawgrass.
Yep.
And Kaymer has. I thought that might lead to him being a slightly shorter price. The only thing that slightly bothers me with Kaymer is his putting's been so poor for so long. I'm just not sure that he can drain enough putts, but he might be worth keeping an eye on.
What about Alex Noren as well? He was badly out of form going into the Open Championship, but he played really solidly there, finished 11th, and he showed up well at the FedEx St Jude last week too. He puts Bermuda well. It has been an issue this season, but I think he seems to be coming back into a bit of form now, Alex Noren.
Yeah, well, he went so long without a top 20 on the PGA Tour this year. It's been a really tough year for him. He's a strange one. I think definitely if you see him start to get into form, keep your eye on him. I'll probably still be a watching brief for me this week with him. But he's always fascinated me. He's a bloke that gets obsessed with things. And when he gets obsessed with them, he sticks with them for a lot. He was a very, very good blogger for a while. Then he got into photography blogging. Then he was obsessed with lifting weights with Johan Edfors, and the pair of them just lift endless weights. And then he had a baby, and that seemed to make a massive difference because it took a lot of pressure off him doing, obsessing on his game and also his sort of other activities. That's what coincided with his brilliant run of form. Something's not been quite right this year, but yeah, he's definitely heading in the right direction.
Yeah, he's 40-1 this week, Alex Noren. Cameron Smith says how much he enjoys the golf course, and he played well last week. He's in the betting at 33-1 as well, so a few names to have a look at. But 4 picks for myself and Matt this week. Matt, you're going with Webb Simpson and Denny McCarthy, 9-1 and 66-1 respectively, and I'm going to take Victor Hovland at 28-1 and Joaquin Neiman, a point each way on both those. Joaquin Neiman, by the way, at 50-1. Let's have a quick word on the the big event this week in the women's game. We've got the Women's British Open, and that's at Woburn. You're doing this podcast live from Woburn. Have you managed to get any little nuggets in the early part of the coverage?
I think a few. I can tell you one thing: it hasn't stopped raining since I got here. It's been utterly appalling. But Nellie Cord was in earlier, and I've been doing a little delve into the stats and things. 3 years ago, when this tournament was last held at this course, Araya Jatanagan won it, and she did so with some pretty good greens and regulation stats. And the people who were populating the top five were hitting a lot of greens, which makes a lot of sense because the greens here, if you miss them on the wrong side, you've got absolutely no chance of getting up and down. And that's something that actually bore fruit also when the British Masters were here at the end of 2015. Matt Fitzpatrick wasn't brilliant tee to green. He was very, very good doing that. But the people who finished in a tie for second were very, very good. I think Soren Kjeldsen was averaging over 90% of greens in regulation. But there could be a slight difference this week. The course is playing quite long because of the wetness of the fairways.
Yeah.
And the greens are also a little softer than they were last time, so they're taking balls a little bit more easily. I actually think that Nellie Cord has got a good chance this week. She's second for greens in regulation on tour. She's top 10 for driving distance. So those two things really factor in her favour this week. She's desperate to do well in a major, which she hasn't really done this year. A year where she's had a real breakthrough, she had a win at the end of last year, a win early this year in Australia. I don't know how many listeners will be aware of this, but she's from quite a sporty family. Her father was Petter Korda, who won the Australian Open tennis. Her sister and herself have both won in Australia, and her brother, I'm trying to remember what he does. I think he's a tennis player as well. He's won like junior tennis, the junior Australian Open. So the four of them just absolutely adore Australia. She says she quite likes this course. It's tree lined. I'm kind of hoping it reminds her a little bit of Adelaide, where she had that win earlier this year. I think she's got quite a good chance.
Yeah, that's very nice. Nellie Corder, same price as her sister, in fact. Jessica Corder is also 40-1, so they're both in the market at the same odds there. So Nellie Corder, your picker at 40-1. Very good. Enjoy your week. Are you there for the full week at Woburn then?
I'm here all week, and I don't know if you remember, but I said when I spoke to you from Port Rush, I was actually on Port Stewart Promenade at the time with a great view. I've also got quite a good view here because I'm actually sat in the press conference platform as if I'm the winner of the tour. Currently, there's nobody in front of me, but I'm looking like a big-time Charlie at the moment.
Well, if you give us back-to-back winners on this podcast, we'll have a trophy made and delivered to you, Matt.
It's funny you mentioned that, Dave, because Georgia Hall was in here earlier, and she revealed that the trophy, albeit the replica that she was given, was actually pinched from her car a couple of months ago.
Oh, no. So,
somebody broke into her boot and half-inched it, so... But we need Pickles the dog, the one that found Jules from a trophy to discover Georgia Hall's booty.
She's available at 100-1 this week. Has she gone off the boil then subsequently? Has she found it difficult to cope with winning it?
I think so, yeah. I think there's been a lot of things that have happened, although she actually said that she's not feeling relief that this tournament's finally come around again. She's actually feeling a little bit sad that that her year at the top has come to an end. I think I'd be disappointed if she didn't make the cut. She's got experience of this course, which actually I should know because, funny enough, she said in a conference she hadn't played this course all year, and I know for a fact she has played it because she played it with me in May. So that I must be quite a forgettable playing partner. I think she likes elements of the course. I wouldn't expect her to contend because she did say there's one particular hole she doesn't like. I'm not sure it entirely fits her eye. But I hope she's around for the weekend.
Thank you, Matt. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. You can follow Matt on Twitter, by the way, at Matt Cooper Golf, and you can follow myself at D Kellner. We'll get you back on the podcast, Matt, in the not too distant future. Thank you for your company this week.
That's great. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and get this podcast by typing in William Hill onto audioboom.com. That's where all our podcasts live. Thank you again to Matt for his contributions. Dave Tindall back with us again next week. And if you're having a bet on the golf this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.